Robert Clayton Ames was a very good spy. Everyone at the Central Intelligence Agency who knew him thought he was good at his work precisely because he was so very disarming and innocent. He was a classic American, idealistic and good-hearted, and open as a Jimmy Stewart character. There was nothing phony about him, nothing cosmopolitan or pretentious. To the contrary, as another CIA officer later observed, he exuded a rock-bottom Americanness that was neither ugly nor quiet. Foreigners invariably liked him. Bob Ames was born on March 6, 1934, in Philadelphia, and grew up in Roxborough, a largely white, working-class neighborhood in the northwest part of the city. People prided themselves in caring for the row homes that lined the streets: Fairmount Park, Wissahickon Creek, and the shops along Ridge Avenue were all within walking distance, and Roxborough residents had multiple bus routes to take them into downtown Philadelphia. 10 churches graced the neighborhood. Life in Roxborough was sheltered and comfortably predictable. Bob spent his entire childhood in the same plain two-story row house at 4624 Peachin Street. His father, Albert Clayton Ames, was a steelworker who spent 32 years with SKF, the Swedish-owned ball bearing plant. His paternal grandfather, Albert Beauregard Ames, was a Philadelphia policeman. Albert Bud Ames's job at SKF was to inspect the quality of ball bearings. It was tedious, low-paid work. Bob's mother, Helen Frances Amorose, was a homemaker. Bob was the second of three children. He had two sisters, Patricia, who was 3 years older, and Nancy, who was 2 years younger. The family got by, but modestly. Albert Ames lived from paycheck to paycheck. He was a union man, a member of the United Steelworkers, and every 2 years, around Christmas time, the union would take him out on strike. Albert would then sometimes go door to door selling Christmas trees. A soft-spoken man, he never complained. He never raised his voice or his hand against the children. There were hard times, but Albert's son, Bob, grew up feeling as though he was a part of the American dream. Helen was a second-generation Italian. She was the avid reader in the family, and also the disciplinarian. "She had her way," recalled Nancy Ames. "You did what you were told." Helen kept the house immaculate. Mondays were wash days, Tuesdays ironing days. Every child had chores and regular homework hours. Helen was a lapsed Catholic. She'd married a Methodist, so the children went to their father's Methodist church every Sunday. Though the Ameses were a working-class family, they were registered Republicans, like most of their neighbors in Roxborough. "My mother didn't think much of FDR, recalled Nancy. "She was a very smart woman. She listened to the radio news every day and read the newspapers. She was the kind of Republican who liked Ike." Bob took after his mother. He was an avid reader. "He used to devour books," Helen later said. When Bob turned 10, his Uncle John gave him an encyclopedia. And many months later, Bob came downstairs one night and announced that he'd read it from cover to cover. He was mild-mannered and personable. "He didn't like confrontation of any kind," recalled his sister Nancy. "He was very private and quiet, not a talker." Like most boys in the neighborhood, he was a Cub Scout and later a Boy Scout. Though his father liked to hunt and fish, Bob took no interest in his father's guns. As the only son, he got away with things. If his mother asked him to do the dishes, he'd stand at the sink and start whistling a tune. He loved to whistle, but he knew his mom hated it, and inevitably she'd dismiss him from doing the dishes. In school, he was known as the class prankster. When Bob was in sixth grade, a teacher thought he was so bright that she recommended he be sent to Penn Charter, a local private school. "There was no money for that," recalled Nancy. Bob was always meticulous. His bedroom in the Peachin Street house was tiny. There was room only for a bed, a small bookcase, and a desk. So maybe he had to be neat. But his handwriting was also remarkably tiny and perfect script. At dinner, remembered Nancy, All his food had to be separated. Nothing was ever to be mixed. The gravy had to be poured exactly in the center of his scoop of mashed potatoes. One evening when Bob was 13 or 14 years old, he was given tickets to see the Harlem Globetrotters perform in an exhibition game. He was enthralled by the show. That Christmas, his parents bought him a basketball. It became his prized possession. In Roxborough, recalled his sister Nancy, if you owned your own basketball, you were special.